This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Any updates from about Marcus Smart or Kyrie Irving? Matter of fact, the last I've heard is that second round, earliest for both guys. Has anything changed since we spoke with you last?
No, nothing's changed. You know, we're still evaluating those guys, but no, I do not anticipate them being available in the first round.
Kyrie, you're shut down just a couple hours later, shut down for the season, going in for further knee surgery to remove the screws, and that's it. And so that's why I don't think the Celts are particularly trustworthy on injuries. So when they say that Kyrie Irving's expected to make a full recovery and be ready to go in 4 to 5 months, I mean, I'm not telling you that they're lying or anything. I just think that they are overly optimistic whenever they report on their team's injuries, and they always give you the best case scenario and play up the best case scenario. And I mean, they told me Garnett was going to be fine in 2009. They told me a lot of things. And this thing again started as tendonitis, then it became rest, and then it became maintenance, and then it was, well, we're going to take a look. We're going to do a minimally invasive procedure. And then the procedure went well, and it's only going to be 3 to 6 weeks. And now it's ask you the morning of, yeah, they're out for the first round. And then a couple hours later, no, he's done for the year. I can't trust you. And we talked about this earlier. You can't trust most teams. They're hardly alone. So I mean to like just pick on them. But just, you know, compare it to what the Bruins did, which they told you Bergeron would be off skates in for 2 weeks, and then they'd reevaluate. He got to the 2 week mark. They reevaluated. He went back on skates and then played the next week. They told you McAvoy would be back by the last week of the regular season. It's the last week of the regular season, and he's back. It's sort of like
the other teams in town got to be calling them saying, "Sweeney, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Right?
Yeah, you're ruining it."
So, like, when the Bruins tell me something on an injury, they've sort of earned my trust a little bit.
Yeah, I don't.
So the Celtics team. So that's just a long way of saying I would have big concerns about Kyrie Irving and his durability going forward as an NBA basketball player.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong to have that concern. I think he's going to have an issue? Look, from everything I've been told, he's going to be okay at the start of the season. And that stuff that they've told you about the knee being structurally fine and all that, I think that is largely true. I think when they went in there, they said there's no, you know, ligament damage, the bone is healed, all of that. And so now we got to take the screws out, get them right. And then at the beginning of next season, he's ready to go. I do think they believe that.
Well, so Maz knows he gave you this report. He was the first one to really talk about this over 2 weeks ago when he said there's something not right with Kyrie's knee. They're going to go in. If they have to remove the screws, he's done. And today they announced they're going in to get the screws and he's done. So I trust you more than I trust them.
Well, thank you.
I'll put it to you like that.
Yeah, but I'd be careful trusting me too.
Well, because I know you're not going to sugarcoat it because you're trying to. You know, I don't know. I don't know why the Celtics do it, but they do it. I think they undersell the severity of their injuries. And so I have more concerns about Kyrie than they're portraying long term. But in the short term, it blows. Deprives us of some good stuff this spring. So we're reacting to that. Our Patriots rumor mongering, which is always worth it. And we'll continue with your phones here on Felger and Maz. Steven in New Hampshire on the Celts. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What do you got?
I was wondering if Tatum were to, you know, crap the bed, or as you guys like to say, crap his pants in the playoffs, do you think they move on from him for a Kawhi deal?
No.
Me neither.
I don't think they would base it on one playoff run as a rookie, no.
Right, you think it's too early?
Yes, well, I mean,
I think they're expecting him to crap his pants.
Yeah, he should crap his pants. That's what rookies do in the postseason.
Right, it's like, you know, it's like babies. Babies crap their pants. That's what they do. He's a baby.
This helps obviously like Tatum.
I think they love Tatum.
Okay, you actually heard something else that would lead you to believe that.
Okay, so look, we've asked the question here all along here, as it pertains to the Kyrie trade, would you do it again? My answer is yes, your answer is yes, and I think their answer is yes. I don't think they have at one point during this whole thing looked back on the deal and said we wouldn't do it. But there's also the question of at the time, could they have given up the Lakers pick instead of the Brooklyn pick? And the Lakers pick looks like it's going to convey now to 2019, so you're not going to get that for another year. And the way I heard it is that in the discussions, they were willing to include that Laker pick and that Cleveland said no. And that because they were trading Kyrie, they wanted a more immediate return. They weren't going to potentially wait until 2019 to get the principal piece back for a guy that they consider basically a franchise player. And so they wanted either the Brooklyn pick, which is obviously in this draft, versus next year, 19, or They wanted Tatum, who the Celtics took with the number one overall pick of this year. And the Celtics weren't giving him Tatum. So they gave the Brooklyn pick to make the deal. Like, in their minds, the Brooklyn pick was the centerpiece. I think we all felt that at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was the centerpiece of the deal. It had nothing to do with Isaiah Crowder or all those other guys.
No, sir.
Those guys were fillers. It was about the Brooklyn pick. And so it was either the Brooklyn pick or Tatum, and they gave up the Brooklyn pick.
But they originally offered the Lakers pick.
Correct.
And Cleveland said no.
Correct.
So
that's the way I heard it.
So some shrewdness there on the part of the Cavs.
Sure.
They predicted correctly that Brooklyn would be worse than L.A.
And I would also say some shrewdness on the part of the Celtics for this reason. They just drafted a guy number one, and they had an unknown with the Brooklyn pick. And I love this draft coming up. If that pick ends up being high...
So it's not necessarily shrewd.
Well, so at the moment, let's say Brooklyn right now is 7, I think.
He's 6. But if Brooklyn and that pick ends up in a position to draft Hakeem Olajuwon...
Correct.
And you chose Tatum over that big guy... Then I don't know. How shrewd was it?
Well, we'll have a much better idea later.
This is another thing that has to play out.
So it's another thing to watch.
Add it to the list. Add it to the list.
So it's a fair point. Like, I look at it as number one versus number 6 or 7, right? Because I think Brooklyn actually, I looked it up, is technically a half game out of 6.
Are they 7? Yeah.
But either way, they're right there. It's the same number of losses, I think, different number of wins. But even so, if Brooklyn ends up winning the lottery... And they end up getting DeAndre Ayton.
Or 1, 2, or 3, and you get one of those transformative big guys.
Sure.
It turns out to be a better player than Tatum. You can go back.
Sure, you can
This
go
is
back.
Fair. This is what you do at trades and say you had the option to send Cleveland Tatum or that Brooklyn pick. You chose Tatum over the Brooklyn pick. Let's see what the Brooklyn pick becomes. This is another thing I get to add to my obnoxious list of things we get to circle back to and grade this trade on.
But for now... I'm happy to hear that they weren't willing to put Tatum in that deal.
Well, so am I. And look, again, at the time, I suppose it makes sense. Like, you just had the number one pick, basically. The guy you deemed to be the number one pick, and you took him. And then you have someone that could be up in the top 10. So we'll take the sure thing, we'll keep the number one, and you can have the other pick. But if that pick hits... Yep, very good. Absolutely,
we'll be waiting.
Yep, oh yeah, we'll go back and assess that one too.
Bob and Easton on the Pats. I only got a minute for you, Bobby. What do you got?
Let me simplify this for Dumb and Dumber, also known as Maz and Murray. So, what's happened or transpired in the last 2.5-3 weeks since the free agency NFL? It's glaring. It's Bob Kraft admitting he was wrong about Garoppolo. It's that simple. You know, Garoppolo had 6 quarters under his belt. He fell in love with Brady, and he told Belichick to trade him. Okay? Now, this meeting, quote-unquote, that Curran and Volin and all these knucklehead, you know, experts say that it's supposed to happen, I'll tell you what happened. They had the meeting when they got McDaniels to stay, and Belichick convinced Kraft and said, listen, if you want this thing to be sustainable, like you guys were saying, Felger, what you were saying earlier, you got to think 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road because Brady,
bingo,
he's going to be good, but he's not going to. It's you need to think about beyond that. So, and by the way, I stick by Gronk being traded. I'm telling you guys right now, it's going to happen, and it's the sustainability. That's why he's stocking up on these picks.
Exactly, and Bob, I'm going to cut you off because you're up against it. Bob's big on the Gronk trade. That'll be another sign. Tom, we have to do what's right for the team, for the long term. You're welcome along for the ride. You insisted on being along for the ride. That's fine. But it would be stupid for us to suspend everything else just to give you a good going away party. We're not going to do that. We're building a team, not just, you know, making your exit the most glorious it can be.
Oh, if you think Brady's pissed now, wait till they trade Gronk.
Let him be.
So do you put any stock in the Schefter report?
That they're not going to trade him?
Well, Schefter also said they were never going to trade Garoppolo.
Hey, Schefter to me is impeccable, but the Garoppolo thing does give me pause, and there's a lot of games being played down there right now.
I'll tell you what, they got to be careful with Gronk, though, because I think Gronk is the piece that if they move him...
I don't think they're going to trade Gronk. I'm sorry. Let me answer that. They're not going
to
trade Gronk.
Okay, so to me, it's for this reason. They would lose Brady. Brady would leave. Brady would retire.
He can't. He couldn't.
Brady would retire.
He couldn't. He couldn't do that to Robert. He wouldn't do that to Robert. He wouldn't do it.
Mike, if they trade Gronk, he'll retire.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
He can't.
Yeah, he would because
he wouldn't.
Oh, well, I thought you were committed and you were gonna do everything in your power to make sure it was.
We thought
about
you were
me.
Committed, Tom. You said you were playing to 45. Now you're not even gonna make it to 41?
Yeah, but then it becomes just like a, you know, you said, I said, well, you said, well, I said, well, you said. Like, you know, I just think it's one thing to trade Cooks. It's another thing to let Solder and Amendola go.
Okay, this
but
and
Gronk?
This and the Kyrie Irving news. Your reaction right after this.
Tugger Mez. The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The biggest event in golf is back. And with the return to Augusta comes the crowd's most obnoxious fan. It's time once again for the Mazsters.
Look out, Augusta! He's back! Tiger's back! And he's gonna plow through this course like it's a trashy Perkins waitress. You win this thing, you can have all the blonde bombshells you want. Hey, Dustin! Dustin Johnson! You gonna fall down the stairs at your rental house again? Ha! Come on! We all know what you were really up to. You threw out your back in Pound Town with Paulina. And I don't blame you, brother! Mickelson! Hey, Mickelson! You degenerate! You think you're gonna get your fourth green jacket this weekend? Well, if you do, old man, good luck trying to fit in it, chubby! Hey, Rory McIlroy! Aw, what's the matter, you little leprechaun? You don't like it when we get rowdy on the course? Wah! Too bad. Where's your lucky charms, huh? Dilly dilly.
All right, off the course.
Get your hands off me.
The Masters, a tradition in being a jerk unlike any other.
I'll just tell you this. I made a little list. Okay, because this to me is one of the few events in sports that almost always delivers. Sunday at the Masters is almost guaranteed. Okay? But if three or four of these guys aren't on the leaderboard on Sunday, I'm not watching. Tiger, Mickelson, I'll give you Dustin Johnson, Spieth, McIlroy, Justin Rose, and Sergio. That's it.
Justin Rose?
Yeah, Justin Rose is a good player.
I have to watch Justin Rose?
No, you don't like him. I do.
I can't tell you a thing about him.
But he can only be three. You know, he's got to be one of the three or four. You got to give me three or four of those guys. Like legit best players in the world or somebody with a hot wife.
Who are the guys right now, Mez? Who are the guys right now at the leaderboard?
Charlie Hoffman. Charlie freaking Hoffman. I'd rather watch Dustin Hoffman play golf than Charlie Hoffman. Some guy named Hadwin. Henrik Stenson, who's better off eating cardboard than watching him play golf. And Reed? Lou Reed plays golf, I guess?
Patrick Reed from the United States.
Patrick Reed. Oh, Patrick Reed.
And so, yeah, there's two guys tied at first.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. The point is a bunch of nobodies that don't move the needle at all.
Yeah, like, if that's what it is on Sunday, Hoffman and Stenson and that guy Finau who blew out his ankle and is now 3 under par, like, forget it. Good luck. I'll have a couple of beers and sit on the back porch.
Back to your phones right here. Marco in Providence on the Patriots. Hi, Marco.
How you doing? I was just wondering, do you think JT Barrett will drop to 23rd and maybe the Patriots could pick him up with that pick?
You're talking about the Ohio State quarterback?
Yeah, exactly.
Is he considered a first-round prospect? I don't spend any time on this crap, but don't tell me that Murray. JT Barrett, the big, huge guy at Ohio State?
No, that guy is not going to the first round. He'll be lucky to get drafted.
I was going
to
say, is he going in the seventh? Sorry, wasting your time there, Ant.
What if Mayfield slips? That's the one that I think would be interesting. What if Mayfield slips to them?
Listen, just to follow this up, it's not about you, Brady. It's not about Gronk. And why would we extend you or give you more money when you're talking about retirement? No. We are doing what we should do and what we should have done all along, which is think long-term and in the best long-term interest of the team. And if you want to come along for the ride, great. Love to have you. Brady, you pretty much have to come because you forced us to trade the other kid. And if we get to the draft and they go 1-2 in the first round, quarterback, tight end.
Oh, yeah, what a message that is,
Or if they package picks to trade up for a quarterback. Again, these things do Brady no good. The tight end would. But the quarterback draft would do nothing for Brady. Like, that's another message. Tom, it ain't about you.
Oh, I'm telling you, 23 and 30. If they really wanted to, like, stick it down the throats of those two guys, 23 and 31, quarterback, tight end.
Anthony and Waltham on the Celts. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, so Danny Ainge violated the Felger and Mavs rules about games played. I mean, Kyrie Irving, this is what he is. He's not durable. And Danny Ainge should take some responsibility for it because Kyrie can't stay healthy. It's the truth.
God bless you. There's nothing wrong with that take.
And quite frankly, he hasn't been good enough. It's one championship in 20 years. He's closer to Ben Cherington than Theo Epstein.
Okay, so the Ainge thing, you've heard me say this before. I think it's technically 17 years. Ainge has one title in 17 years. He's a great GM. He's made some incredible moves. It's just the way he gets treated like Belichick. He does. When he gets treated, he gets ranked ahead of Belichick when it comes to GMs in town. And if there was any other guy that won one title in 17 years, we not only would not say he's the best, we would want him out of town.
Dave Dombrowski?
Right. Or Harry Sinden, the GM for 29 years and never won a cup. So I agree with that general take. The thing about Kyrie, I think it's just fair to say if, you know, you took on an injury risk and it bit you. So that's part of the analysis. That's not bad luck. The Gordon Hayward thing was bad luck. Like, that's bad luck. You didn't bargain for that. You didn't. There was no history there. That was a fluke play 5 minutes into the season. Okay? That I don't blame you for. The Kyrie thing, that was part of the risk that you took in making that trade. Nate in Danvers, your thoughts?
Yeah, on the Kyrie knee, Ainge knew about this because most likely they knew that, because with screws and wires, a lot of the times, especially in a knee, they're going to push out. It's, you know, they're not natural to the body. So they knew it was expected. With Hayward being out, everybody else getting hurt, he had tendonitis problems, which is one of the things that show up when you have pins in, bursitis and pain. So they figure, why don't we cut it now? Don't worry about the 4 months, because if they wait.
So you're saying that there's no issue with the knee, it's just a decision outside of the knee.
Yeah, that's basically...
No, that's a little optimistic, Nate?
No, because I work in the medical field, and when I heard what it was, I was like, all right. So they knew when they got, you know, the physical...
Doctor, why didn't they shut him down? Then why didn't they shut him down last month? Why did they say 3 to 6 weeks?
Well, because when they first took the wire out, they were like, all right, let's see if this is what was the cause of it.
Nate.
In the same general area.
Nate, he wanted to play, they thought he could play. Turns out they were wrong.
Yeah, they thought he could, but then he was still having the same problem. So they're like, all right, so we're going to take the screws out.
So it's a medical thing. It's not a choice. Like, you're talking like, oh, well, Hayward's out anyway, and they weren't going to win it anyway, so just shut him down. So what is it? Is it a medical thing, or is it a tactical decision outside of the medicals?
It's a little bit of column A and B. It's both, because I think they know that they're going to be screwed not making it to the finals.
Okay.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
Like, they're like, you know what? Why don't we start fresh next year? Because if it's going to take them 4 months.
Then why didn't they have the surgery last year? If you knew those screws had to come out and doctor and all this stuff was happening, why didn't they do it at the All-Star break? Why didn't they do it before the season?
When did they get him? They got him in June. So maybe it wasn't bothering him that much. And then
Nate,
the year went on.
Here's the thing. He wanted to keep playing. He tried to keep playing. They thought he could keep playing, and it turns out he couldn't.
Yeah, I would even say to Nate, just go back to the last procedure.
They undersold and probably underestimated where his knee was at, and that's what happened.
I mean, if they wanted to pull the plug, they would have pulled the plug when they went in the first time.
Exactly.
You know, let alone the All-Star break or anything else.
Exactly. 2 weeks ago. Exactly right.
They would have pulled the plug then and said, that's it. We're going to pull the plug. They said, we're done because we're not going anywhere anyway. He wanted to play, and I think they wanted to try to make a run and maybe get to the finals. And then it didn't get better, and maybe it got worse. And I don't know whether the infection came from this thing or not. Like, you know, feels like the infection resulted from going in, but what the hell do I know? I mean, you know, all I can tell you is when you have surgery, they tell you the risk of infection is high. So you go, particularly if you have metal in there. So you go in, like, to me, it feels like they're connected. But either way, they chose I think they were telling the truth when they said they chose a more conservative route at the beginning with the hope that he'd be able to play. And then it didn't work. So that's it. Now they're done.
But you don't get to have your cake and eat it, too. It's like, oh, he could have played, but they just decided, you know, Hayward was down. And so, yeah, shut him down and have him ready for the beginning of next year. Like, you don't get to dismiss the medical. The reason he's not playing is because he's hurt. He's hurt, and he has a bad knee. That's why he's not playing.
Put it this way. When next year starts, are you going to be watching his knee?
Of course.
I mean, how do you not?
For the rest of his career, but certainly next year. All right, so if you're just joining us and you haven't heard this today, there is breaking news on Kyrie Irving, and it's not good. Jim Murray gets you filled in. We come back. I'll give you a quick Bruins minute on the way back as well.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to try to beat Florida tomorrow, Steve, to be honest with you. We said this before. We're going to decide on the rest accordingly. We'll talk to players individually.
First place is not secure. So, looks like the team is listing a little bit here recently. They look like crap on Sunday in Philly, second of a back-to-back, and then one of the worst games they've played all year, frankly, or since November anyway, was Tuesday night in Tampa. And so maybe they're just a little gassed or just run out of it a little bit here down the stretch, and so the natural question is, are you going to rest? Are you going to rest? And here's the full answer from Cassidy.
We're going to try to beat Florida tomorrow, Steve, to be honest with you. We said this before. We're going to decide on the rest accordingly. We'll talk to players individually. Some of the guys that played a lot of hockey are out, one permanently. Corrali's been out. Nash, they've played a lot. So they're getting their rest now, if you lack a better term, obviously. I mean, they're injured, not able to play. Z and Charlie got some time off. Bergie back. So, I mean, it's, yeah, you got some guys like Schall or Marchand, Pasta, played a lot of hockey. Even Marchie had a bit of a break. But so Krug, we'll monitor that. Grizz, Miller going forward here. We've tried to limit practice time. Today we went on. Tomorrow we'll have an optional. We just felt there's some things we wanted to work on. So I'll probably be able to answer that better on Saturday.
Yeah, so right.
So there is no plan right now. We'll go with the healthy guys tomorrow.
Okay, so yeah. If you got it wrapped up on Sunday, rest them all. Great. But in the meantime, first place is going to mean something. You want Tampa and Toronto playing in the first round against each other. Knock each other off. The three best teams in the East are you, Tampa, Toronto. So what? You want to go Toronto, Tampa? You want to face the other two? Or you want to have Tampa face the other two? It's pretty simple. You want first place. And I like his answer there, like about the rest. Well, Corrali and Riley Nash are out right now, so they're getting their rest. Rick Nash is still out, so he's getting his rest. Chara and Charlie McAvoy just missed
chunks of time, as did DeBrusk and Bergeron.
They just got their rest. Bergeron just got his rest, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know what? Good. So, play them all. Rask is playing tonight. I think they should want first place. One, because there's value in it in terms of the bracket and all of that. Okay, so, and two, is, like I said, this is the first sign of a slump that they've had in forever. Like, have they been in a slump since November?
No, I
think they've lost back-to-backs once or twice.
Yeah, there was one little stretch where I thought they were starting to teeter, and then they turned it around.
So they've basically been without a slump since November, and I would hate to think that week going into the playoffs. Now you're gonna start to go the other way. So you're coming off of two bad games, and you're a miracle you got a point in Philly, but you come off two bad games, Philly, Tampa. You got a beatable Florida team. Your goalie just sucked in the last game. Go out and win this and put pressure on Tampa to win tomorrow night and play them all and let's go. Let's see a bounce back, because that's what you've done all year. If you don't do it tonight, I'm going to look at you and go, well, you picked a wrong time to start sucking.
I mean, all they got to do is win two of the last three.
5 points, basically, and it's 5 points and it's over. Okay? If Tampa gets less than two in any of these next two, that even changes it. You're the only team playing on Sunday. So you'll know on Sunday whether you need 1 point, 2 points, or no points to get first place. It'll be right there in front of you, and then that's when you decide whether to sit all your guys or not. Until then.
No, and it sounds like that's what he's saying, right?
The first game's not till Thursday. So what? You want them to have a week and a half? No, play them. Go get first place. You've been, you know, balls to the wall all season long. Don't stop now.
No, they to me...
you're our last hope.
Yeah, I like the way they're approaching it, though. Like, you know, win tonight and then see what happens. So, like, if they were to sit here today and say, well, we're going to play everybody all weekend, that'd be wrong, too, wouldn't it?
Of course. Yes. Yeah. So, I think Cassie was right there. We don't really have a plan. All right. So, we have some Bruins calls on the line here. Let's grab them. Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, so they're going to play that Civ 2 guy tonight. He's just going to pee his pants like he did the other night.
Let's see. Big night for him, right?
Oh, my God.
So, let's see.
They're going to get rid of this guy.
You're not going to do it now. He's your guy going into the playoffs. Let's see how he does. He wasn't good the other day. No one was good the other day. Let's see if they... Cassie's gotten a bounce back all season long. All season long. He's got him to respond. Let's see one more. If now all of a sudden they don't respond, as you're heading into the playoffs, I'm going to look at it and go, what? Now? Now all of a sudden you're not responding? Let's see him respond, starting with the goalie. Paul and Avon. Go ahead, Paul. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Just want to talk about the Bruins a little bit, you know what I mean? I have a cousin, you know, he's real low on the echelon with the training team, you know? And everybody expected, you know, the other night when after they 4-0 to the, you know,
Paul,
Lightning.
Paul, quickly, what's your...
He was going to go off, you know, but yep. They got in the dressing room. Instead, what he did was he named five players that he wanted on the ice tomorrow morning to just sharpen their skills. McAvoy, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna cut you off. So that's what his he's. I guess he got some insight on the
and how Cassidy's pushing buttons.
Yeah, all I know is he's pushed him all season long. He's got him to respond all season long.
Yeah, and I, you know, the way he did it the other night, we touched on this yesterday. The tone was the right tone to give your team a message without being a lunatic, right? Like, hey, look, we got a lesson tonight. You know, we saw what it was like to go against a veteran team that increased the level of urgency, and our young guys will benefit. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? We didn't have it tonight. Hopefully, we'll be better for it.
And on Rask, that first one can't go in. So, let's see it. Starting with the goalie out.
I mean, that first goal was a horrendous goal.
Do they respond? Anthony and Newton. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Felger. I'd like to get both your guys' opinions on this. So, especially after the Winnipeg game, I felt that that's where you miss Rick Nash with that playoff mentality, the bigger body. And I look at that second line especially. I think it needs to be Nash, DeBrusque, Krejci. Donato kind of reminds me a little bit of Pastor his first year. He's not really up there in weight. He's getting pushed around a little bit, even though he can score. My question for you is, I think, do you think that all these young kids are going to push Nash out of Boston next year with no chance of re-signing him?
So let me stop. Just side issue, like, can we burn that bridge when we get to it? To me, it's not about the kids. It's about Nash's contract.
Yeah, how much he's willing to take.
I'd love to see Nash here for, when I say long-term, 2 to 3 years, right? I think, you know, I just think he's such a legit piece.
Yeah, you want to take $4 million, fine.
Exactly. Am I giving him, you know, 3 times 7?
No.
3 times 6?
No, and they're not doing that either.
So, my guess is he's a goner. On the line, I think you're right. Whether it's Donato or DeBrusque, I think that's a close call. I think you need Nash on the other side. If you're rolling out your second line in the playoffs against big bodies and the grind and the war of a playoff series, and it's Ryan Donato, who is, you know, what a release, but let's face it, slight and can get pushed around, and the rookie DeBrusque, that's just too much. You need Nash on one side to help protect the other.
Okay, so today's April 5th. He's been on the ice now. He plays next Thursday. I think he plays on the 12th.
Let's see.
Unless he has a setback. To me, that part is almost a given. If he has some sort of setback, well, then that changes. But assuming he is now sort of on the... He's got enough time. A week's enough. He should be playing next Thursday if he doesn't have a setback.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
They've got to review now other potential options on that need to take the long view of it. And they were not going to bring back Irving. They felt potentially there was more damage that could be done. But it's a devastating blow to the Celtics. They've, you know, all but locked up that 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. But their hopes of winning a conference championship, beating Cleveland, Toronto in the East, they're obviously dimmed now.
Like, the Bruins release all their own stuff. You know that no one gets anything with the Bruins? No one.
I kind of like it.
You know, the Patriots hand Schefter everything. It's obvious, right? Like, Schefter breaks the big news story on the Patriots. The Patriots don't break it. Schefter does. On most of it. Most everything. It's Schefter. And with the NBA, it's usually somebody. It's usually Woj. When the Bruins re-signed Zdeno Chara, they tweeted out, Chara re-signed 1 year, $5 million plus incentives. Gave you the numbers. They gave you the numbers.
I'll tell you, I think more teams should do business that way.
And like on the injury, so this is like all goes back to, it's hard for me to trust the Celtics on the injuries. They almost always undersell how severe it is, including this morning, Danny Ainge really not giving TNR an update. Yeah, he's going to miss the first round, but nothing's really changed. And then an hour later, he's shut down for the year. So hard to trust the Celtics, Red Sox for sure when it comes to injuries. But anyway, there's Woj who broke the story. When he says they have to now review their options and take the long view, when he says options, what's he talking about?
I don't know. Maybe they had other choices here where they, you know, could have tried to get him onto the floor still. And I mean, maybe that was the, there were lots of choices they could have made. And they said, you know what, at the end of the day, we're going to pull the plug on it because it's just not going to work. And so, to me, I don't know. But that was a curious way to phrase it.
Yeah, and it does deprive us, the fans, of it wasn't going to be a championship spring for the Celtics, but still would have been a lot of fun and I think a lot of value to be gained. The fun is going up against LeBron in either the second round or the conference finals, and he and Kyrie hate each other and are just desperate to put it up on each other. And I think if you get by the Cavaliers, there's real value in showing the league that you are really the next team, the best team in the East, a great destination for whether it's Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard or whoever you think that next big shoe to drop is, and there probably is one. You are now the place to be, and that all could have happened this year, and I felt that that was all on the table up until this morning. If Kyrie comes back for the second round, I think you're all set, loaded for bear, for, you know, to go to the finals against the Warriors and then get poleaxed, but okay, but whatever. I still think there's value in just getting there, and now that's all. It's all out the window. They still should win the first round, but there's, as you said earlier, Maz, a definite finish line now.
Oh, yeah, it's drawn now. I mean, you know, they're not getting past the second round now. This is unless they catch some sort of break and they catch a lamb in there because someone gets upset. But that LeBron-Kyrie thing, that would have been good. That would have been good stuff.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on that and the Patriots. Tom in Middleborough. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Great show. Love your show. Listen, I had a thought. Now that Kyrie's out, do you think Gordon Hayward may come back sooner?
No, see, I think this a side benefit, if there is one, is that it completely shuts Hayward down, and if Hayward had any sort of designs on pushing his way back into the lineup, I think this effectively ends that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I think the chances of that were close to zero anyway, but now no shot. I mean, now no shot. Now, you know, you eliminate all doubt now.
And we think that there was a little bit of a tug and a pull there that Hayward, you know, was pushing for his way back and working to come back, and the team wanted nothing to do with it. And so now this, you know, if Hayward had any sort of dreams about coming back, they're gone. Andrew in the car on the Patriots and Tom Brady. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I'll keep this a little bit quick, and I hate to bring this topic up, but at this point I feel like Belichick and Kraft has kind of put all of their eggs in the same basket here, and I don't want to lead them and, like, think about them going into an indecisive mode and kind of end up like Miami or the Bills. So I'm looking at their draft picks, and you're more likely to end up with Carson Wentz or Andrew Luck in the top five. You don't want to end up in, like, the 10 to 12 range, end up with Ryan Tannehill in that stupid contract. So I think at this point they really have to go all in on Brady and then just accept the consequences of their actions on trading our guy and ending up.
They're doing just the opposite. They're doing just the opposite, Andrew. And when you say they're being indecisive, what's indecisive about what they've done?
Well, you guys were talking about
that,
and you know you can't say that.
Can't say that. Look, I think that they. I think right now they're acting decisively. Frankly, I do. I think they're making moves for the long term. They're making long term moves at the cost of putting the best team around Tom Brady. And I think they're doing it decisively. I think it took them a while to get to this point. What do we do with Garoppolo? What do we do with Brady? What kind of team do we build around Brady? And what time, you know, I think that they weren't all on the same page. They were not on the same page. Belichick thought he could keep Garoppolo, and he couldn't. So that was miscommunicated, or there was a bad assumption. They were not on the same page. Now I think they are. And I... To me, it feels like this offseason they are taking a very distinct approach, and that is we are doing what we normally do and we would do in any other circumstance, and that is build for the long term. And yep, so what? Our quarterback's 41. And yep, so what? We just traded our future quarterback. It's still the smart thing to do to not overpay for 30-year-old left tackles. It's smarter to draft one. And it's smart not to overpay for a receiver for 1 year. It's smarter to take a first-round pick that'll help you over the next 5 years. So that's what they're doing. And it's going to hurt Tom Brady in the short term. But that's what they're doing because that's just the smart thing to do.
So the part of it that's inconsistent, right, is the Garoppolo trade.
Yes, yep.
I mean, that's the part of it that's inconsistent. But, you know, on the one hand, like, I do look at it and say, Kraft had to tell Belichick, you don't get to keep Jimmy G. So now here we are, X number of months later, and he's now looking at Brady and saying, you got Jimmy G gone, you don't get everything
exactly.
Else. So now he looks at Bill and says, you get to run it the way you typically would run it. So, like, on one hand, it's almost like he tells them both, there's your compromise.
So there's exactly right.
Right? There's your compromise. Tom, you won the quarterback thing. Bill, you won the rest, like you always do. And so now it's even. The only thing is that I just... To me, you should have picked one or the other. And so I get it. He's keeping the personalities happy. I get that part of it. They shouldn't have gotten rid of Garoppolo. Well, in case I haven't told you.
Yeah,
that.
No, you should mention it. To me, I don't... The thing is, I don't think either are happy. But I do think it's Kraft's middle position. It's how he decided to middle it, which is, We're not going to sacrifice everything for Brady. You get to stay, and that's your loyalty, and that's your prize. You won, so you get to stay. You get to keep the job. But that doesn't mean that we're going to give everything else up just so you can have a good couple of years here at the end. We're not planning a going away party. We're planning for the next 5 to 10 years and for Jonathan to take over. We're going to own this thing for a long time. It ain't about you, as great as you are.
Well, what's that old saying? You know you get a good deal when neither side is fully happy?
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. I will draw the line, however, at this idea that they are going to trade Gronk. And this is Bob and Easton's big thing. And if they trade Gronk...
Well, then you'll really know they're saying, Tom, you get to stay, but nothing else.
Yeah, but I think that's going too far, is what I'm telling you, Mike. If they trade Gronk, they're going to lose Brady. They're going to lose him.
I keep saying
and rightfully so.
There's no way. He can't retire.
Okay,
yes,
but when
he can.
He won't.
But when I say lose him,
he won't.
I don't know if he would actually quit, but they will lose him in terms of his faith.
He'll be pissed. What do you mean? He'll stop practicing hard?
He won't be all in.
He won't eat wheat germ in the morning?
He won't be all in.
Yeah, he will.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will.
Nope. You can't trade Gronk and keep Brady happy, too.
And he can because...
First of all, they're not going to trade Gronk. Like, I firmly believe that. I don't think that they could honestly do it now.
I don't think they will either.
But if that were to happen, like, as it is, like, the parameters have now changed. Because when they move Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady, I would think, well, now you're all in on me. And rightfully so, because I'm the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. But wait a minute. Now you're doing with these half measures now a year later? This makes no sense. So he has every right to be pissed. If they were to trade Gronk, he has every right to walk
I'm
now.
Not telling you he's happy. I'm telling you he's not going to bail.
Yeah. No, I think he will.
No, he can't.
It's changed, Mike.
He can't. Can't bail. He would not do that to Robert. He would not.
I'll tell you what. You said earlier about the way to screw Brady, to really screw him, is take 23, 31, and whatever else, move up and take a quarterback. You want to know the way to really screw him? Trade Gronk for a higher first and then take a quarterback.
So trade Gronk, use all those picks to trade up for a quarterback.
Well, that would really screw Brady. Holy crap. Talk about getting absolutely freaking porked.
And oh, by the way, there are reports out today of Patriots looking at some of these big quarterbacks.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.